questions afterwards, if they're all right.
Okay, so he's going to give a little bit of introduction and then community and regional affairs together. This is Senator DeVries, and present with me is Senator Vic Fisher and Senator Jack Coghill. We are set up on the teleconference, and the first bill that we will be hearing via the teleconference, as well as the testimony of the people that are here present with us in Juneau, will be Senate Bill 108. And if the sponsor or the requested sponsor of the bill, Mr. Mertes, is in Fairbanks, we'll go to him now for an overview of Senate Bill 108.
Hello, this is Ed Mertes. Can you hear me down there, Madam Chairman?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Senate Bill 108 is submitted by the request of the State Olympic Committee to Senator Ferguson and the sponsors listed on the bill. Basically, the bill extends the Olympic Trust Fund for the next Olympic quadrennium, which is 88 to 89. At the request of the Commissioner of Administration, substitutes the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to implement the portion of the bill that pertains to state and municipal employees. It also includes in-kind gifts, which were intended to be included before, but the Department of Administration felt that it should be explicitly included in the bill. And it is intended that this bill will expire in 4 years, and so I suggested an amendment in Section 3. This will actually take effect on July 1, 1985, and expire on December 31st, 1989, the end of the current Olympic quadrennium. State Olympic co-chairman Chuck Cesare is in Anchorage, and he would like to testify, and also the executive director of the State Hawaii Olympic Committee, Don Dennis, here in Fairbanks, would also like to say a few words. And I understand that Representative Marco Pino Berry will be there to testify, and also the Department of Administration. I am open to any questions. Primarily, this bill, amendment to this bill was requested by the Department of Administration. I think it's a good bill. It continues a concept of developing Olympic excellence in Alaska, which doesn't exist anywhere else in the country. We intend to utilize these trust fund monies to not only develop Olympic talent, but to assist anybody in the state who is interested in the Junior Olympics program. We're going to run that program probably and start running it in 86, because we've got to earn some money from the trust fund before we can actually do it. The whole purpose of this trust fund is to perpetuate a source of income to develop Olympic excellence in the state. We certainly appreciate the state employees and now the municipal employees who, if this bill passes, will be asked to voluntarily commit to the program. The program does not require them to commit at all. We have gotten good feedback. The state employees, certainly in my area, have gotten a favorable response. The only problem we have seen in the administration of the bill so far is that many of the state employee department heads were not notified. For instance, the university just told me yesterday that they didn't know about it. So one of the big objectives we're going to have this next time is get the word out. We think that the community and regional affairs aspect of the bill will be more helpful in that regard, because they have offices all throughout the state and have a direct interest in communities. Basically, I hope the legislature sees fit to pass this bill, which will make Alaska, in my judgment, become the winter Olympic capital of the world eventually, and perpetuate the type of Olympic excellence we see in Mara Rabinowitz and our various other Ms. Sorceness and other athletes who we think will not only put Alaska on the map, but enable this state in the 88 Olympic Games, which are, as you know, in Calgary, to be a stopping off place, because we want to develop a reputation for Olympic excellence in the state of Alaska. And I'll be subject to any questions at this time.
Is there any? Yes, Senator Fisher.
Madam Chair, I would like to ask Ed what happened with the legislation previously passed. What, in effect, what benefits were derived under that, and so on. Sort of what was accomplished?
First of all, we have many state employees who are participating in the program. We have raised some monies under the program, and we have obtained statewide support. For instance, there's an Anchorage group, the Alpine and Cross Country Ski volunteers want us to assist in developing an Olympic headquarters in Forest Gears in Anchorage. We have sent people out to Lake Placid. We have sent skaters out, and we are in the process of implementing the Olympic Junior Program. And as you know, Vic, until we raise the money, there isn't very much we can do. And if we don't extend the bill expires, the present legislation expires on July 1, 1985. And that's, of course, one of the purposes of this bill, is to keep the fundraising in high gear.
Madam Chair, if I may continue.
Yes.
My understanding, when we considered this legislation before, was it was directed toward contributions by individuals to be matched by the state. I see in one of the papers that's before us that the total claims from July 1 to December 31, 84 are $327,124.73, of which $300,000 is represented by one transaction, supposedly an in-kind contribution of a bulldozer or some piece of equipment. I'm not sure that, I assume if the claim was put in that the bill, the measure provided for that, but certainly that didn't I don't remember that as being the intent of the legislature or any of the presentations that were made before any of the committees last time.
It's not a bulldozer. What happened is the contributions are taken in the form of land, taken in the form of inventory from businesses that we're going to sell. The particular gift you're talking about is brand new, not bulldozers, but brand new generators and equipment donated by a company who not only believes in the Olympic movement, but wanted to get that in before the end of the tax year so that they would have a tax consideration. Because we don't care if they get tax considerations. We'll accept a gift for $300, we'll accept a gift for $150,000. And it's turning out that people are so interested in this fund that they're willing to give what we call in-kind gifts, which, of course, we will either liquidate or keep for purposes of Olympic costs. Now, that $300,000 gift, of course, hasn't been matched yet by the state. And the fact is that these people are genuinely generous, and the state employees and municipal employees, as I mentioned earlier, weren't notified. At least not all of them are notified. And the purpose of the original bill, it was to give private donations. What we're doing was, these are all private donations. For instance, we're having an auction in Fairfax and in Anchorage, the sports and banquet of the year, you know, which is going to be held in Anchorage, in which Chuck Knox is going to speak at the Hilton Hotel. All the proceeds from that sports in the year back is going to the Olympic Trust Fund. It just takes time to gear up. But remember, the bill didn't become law until July last year, and we've been putting the gears into effect. And we think this is going to be a real success in both in-kind and cash donations. But it certainly takes time. Remember, none of us are getting paid, and it's all volunteer work.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Sturgeon. Madam Chair, this is Senator Sturgeluski. And all right, if you're taking in different kinds of things, and you're looking at an auction, are there guidelines set up so that actual cash in hand will be matched, not the value of the gift? Because a generator or a tractor or a piece of land or something may well have some values for the purposes of the giver, but would have far less value on the market, so that it could be something quote unquote usable.
Yeah, you're correct. The Department of Administration and Representative Pinalberry come in with a definition of in-kind gifts, Senator Sturgeluski, which will only qualify in-kind gifts which can be used for the Olympic program. In other words, if it can't be used in any way for the Olympic program or turned into cash, it will not be matched. And that amendment will be submitted to the committee either by the Department of Administration. I've gone over it in detail with them, and I have no objection to it, and that makes sense.
Madam Chair, I'd like a couple of other questions. I wonder, Ed, if you could tell us how the State Olympic Committee is chosen and for what period of time, and just a little bit of details about the organization.
Yes, thank you. I'm appointed by the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs. And under our national bylaws, I then select the statewide Olympic committee members who serve for a period of 4 years. As you know, the existing members of the committee are Glenn Olds, Charity Kedar, Lou Williams, Chuck Cicera, who's co-chairman, Don Dennis, executive director, and myself. The committee, of course, is responsible for two things. We're responsible to meet a national quota, which we have met and will meet. And we also are responsible for developing Olympic talent in the individual states. And this particular mechanism we have here will ensure that Alaska gets on the map by development of Olympic talent in Alaska through the use of the trust fund. As you know, the United States Olympic Committee cannot, under its bylaws, accept any public monies. That's why the state contribution funds are so valuable and can be illegally used by the state in the its own trust fund. And that's the background of it. And this is, of course, a rather unique approach. No other state's doing this, but I bet you a lot of them copy us after it's over.
Yes, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'm sure I see Jeff Smith here from Community and Regional Affairs. We'll get some testimony on it, but there's been discussion about the kind of HYDRA approach here, in that it's both responsibilities in Community and Regional Affairs and also in administration, and I think both of the departments are kind of willing to let the other department have total responsibility, and I wonder if you have any comments on that, Mr. Mertes.
Mr. Zalewski, no. As a matter of fact, if this recommended participation at Community and Regional Affairs was cleared directly by Commissioner Rudd and Commissioner Noddy, I was in Juneau about 10 days ago, and I was personally present when they agreed among themselves that this should be done as total cooperation between the two divisions, between the two commissioners. It doesn't make any difference to the statewide committee who administers it, but as Commissioner Rudd and Mr. Bischoff explained to me, probably would be better to have Department Community and Regional Affairs do it, and that the administration is more of a sentry and more of a watch guard, and they'd rather not get involved in direct administration except the payroll part of it. So their amendments that they're going to submit tonight, that Mr. Bischoff read them to me, I have no objection to them, and I think it will clear up any administrative challenges.
Madam Chair, just another question. I'd be interested to know how you're going to go about developing just what kind of programs would qualify, and also the question of accountability to the state, because I can see quite a lot of funds involved in this eventually.
First of all, we intend to run the Junior Olympics program, which is a national program in the United States for young people up to 18 years of age. It's very settled. It's a program that will regionalize throughout the state, including Bush, it's very, very well established. That's one aspect of it. The second aspect of running this program is to make sure that athletes that in Alaska see competition and are able to go out into competition that are budding Olympic talent. But more importantly, what we intend to do is, for instance, get all the Alaskan kids involved in the winter sports by providing, like skis, working with the school districts to provide coaching talent, and make Olympic equipment. And biathlon, for instance, is another one, where the military are very interested in rifles and cross-country skiing and, you know, and shooting. And that, incidentally, we intend to work on Olympic biathlon, cross-country, and luge headquarters in this state. That's where all the emphasis will be given, to make Alaska a sort of a show place for Olympic talent, and to any kid that wants to really push himself, whether boy, girl, it doesn't make any difference how big they are or their size or anything else. If they're an Alaskan kid and they want to get involved in the Olympics, they're going to have the opportunity under this trust fund. And incidentally, this program will be there long after I'm dead and gone. It's the only type of program that will be in perpetuity. That's the reason for the trust fund, Senator.
Thank you. Is there any further questions from the committee? Okay. If not, then, Merkel, did you want to testify at this time to answer some of the questions?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Marco Pignalbury, and a representative from East Anchorage, and I've been asked to testify on the bill on behalf of Senator, my friend, former Senator Mertes, and the Olympic Committee. You have before you several sheets of the paper on your desk. It doesn't bear my name. It simply says testimony on Senate Bill 108. And I would refer you to that because I think by taking about 2 minutes to run through it, it would allay some of the questions that some have already come up and the other questions I think you're going to have. First of all, I think it helps to put in perspective what the bill did last year. Session Law Chapter 141 last year created the Olympic Reserve Account, and basically it did three things. It established the reserve account in Title V. The account consists of voluntary salary deduction contributions from state employees. The second thing it did was it provides that the Department of Administration shall hold the contributions in a trust for the official U.S. Olympic Committee in Alaska. And the third thing it does, it authorizes the state to provide matching funds dollar for dollar for all private donations not to exceed $1 million, and in addition, to match the salary deduction contributions made by state employees. Now, with that foundation of what last year's bill does, we have before us your bill, Senate Bill 108, and it simply extends some of the features of last year's bill. First, the effective date begins where last year's law ends. That is July 1st, 1985 would be the effective bill of the effective date of this bill. The term of the bill, unlike last year's, which is 1 year, the term of this bill is 4.5 years. It expires December 31st, 1989, and this coincides with the quadrennial period established by the U.S. Olympic Committee. Secondly, this Bill 108 allows voluntary contributions from municipal employees to be matched by the state. Third, it allows in-kind donations that are acceptable to the official U.S. Olympic Committee of Alaska and which are appraised at fair market value. It allows these also to be matched with state funds up to but not more than $1 million. And fourth, this bill designates the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to carry out the notifications and to provide the forms to the state and local government employees who wish to participate in the bill. Madam Chairman, bearing in mind that these are the extensions of what was done in this committee and by the legislature last year, there are five amendments that have been worked up by Mr. Bischoff from the Department of Administration and Admiralty's and Fairbanks. And very briefly, I'll just take a minute to tell you what these five amendments do, and you have them in the packet. And on the third page is the explanation that I'm going to give you now, and then the amendments are underneath. Now, the First Amendment, number one, clarifies that the administration of municipal programs are independent of the state. It provides that the municipal contributions are paid directly into the U.S. Olympic Committee of Alaska, and that the Olympic Committee of Alaska will invoice the state for the matching funds. This is a clarification requested by the Department of Administration. The Second Amendment...
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just to make this fully clear, municipal employees will be able to make a contribution which is matched not by the municipality but is matched by the state. Is that the idea?
That is correct.
Thank you.
The Second Amendment does two things. The first part of it deletes the date, the effective date, because it's specified in the effective date clause of the Act later on. And the second part of it deletes reference to the municipality because it's taken care of in the previous amendment, number one. The Third Amendment is to limit the scope of the private in-kind donations to items which are directly or indirectly of benefit to the Olympic program effort. And the Fourth Amendment is to spell out the process for applying for the matching funds. And finally, the last amendment is to specify the effective date and the expiration date of the Act and to identify and attach it to the Olympic quadrennial cycle. And the exact language that we try to accomplish these amendments by are beneath this summary sheet that you have. Now, for Mr. Murdy's sake, I should say right now we're trying to telecopy these amendments up to him because he has not seen them in writing, it's my understanding. We just believe someone is just sending them from legislative information right now.
Okay. Also, Senator Ferguson has left, but before he left, he asked that I hold the bill over and because I don't think either has had a chance to review
right.
these and has some questions. So, we have another meeting at 4:30, and we'd also have another bill to teleconference. So we want to get as much testimony as we can, but we don't want to drag this on because we will be having some more time when we get the amendments in to the bill. So is there any questions of Representative Pugnalberry? Okay, if not, thank you. Jeff, are you going to testify on this? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jeff Smith. I'm Deputy Commissioner with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. Senator Murdy's referred to a breakfast meeting that was held between Commissioner Noddy, Commissioner Rudd, and himself. At that time, this bill was discussed and was talked about having Community and Regional Affairs responsible for part of the program. And the Commissioner did talk about considering that and taking a look at it. However, after after that breakfast and having meetings with staff, the commissioner has changed his mind, and we do feel that it would unnecessarily complicate the legislation and feel that it would be important for one department to be designated the full administrator of the program. And we believe, and certainly we don't want to dictate to another department's position, and we've not had a time to fully discuss this with Commissioner Rudd, but we feel since one of the major aspects of the program is employee deductions, and that aspect of the program cannot be transferred to another department, we feel that it would be important to keep the program all in one, probably within the Department of Administration, since they have a major responsibility for the employee deductions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any questions of Jeff? Yes, Senator Fisher.
Just a brief one. Have you reviewed the amendments, Jeff?
No, I've not, Senator. This is the first
okay.
we've heard of them.
Okay.
I wish you would review them before the next meeting, so that you might comment on them, particularly the definition of what's acceptable as in-kind contributions, and whether or not there might not be some process for making a determination which ones do qualify and which ones don't. So if somebody has a question, there probably ought to be some process for people knowing that this will qualify before they make a donation thinking it's tax deductible and then it's thrown out.
I'll get a copy of those from Mr. Bishop.
I guess my only concern on that would be, someone donating something and then we were not able to get our money out of it, and the state contributes an in-kind for the same thing, and there we're sitting with this thing sitting in somebody's yard or someplace or something. So I think there should be some really clear guidelines out as to what is, certainly allowable for in-kind, and whether we would be able to actually get some money out of that or not. So.
Yes, Senator DeVries, can I clarify that point?
Sure.
Marco, Representative Pino, buried in the entire amendment, but the end of the amendment, which you'll see, says that the in-kind stuff must be in furtherance of the Olympic program, and it must be for Olympic training, and must in some way further the Olympic movement. I can assure you we're not going to let the equipment lay around, or we're not even qualified for matching if it does in some way implement the Olympic program.
Madam Chair, my point is mainly that somebody has to make a decision whether an airplane that's donated is or is not in furtherance of the Olympic movement, rather than leaving that kind of an issue vague. Or if somebody donates a parachute with a bunch of holes, somebody might say it is and somebody else might say it isn't. And I think a process ought to be specified so there isn't any question left open.
Okay. Do we have anyone else here that would like to testify? Yes.
Madam Chairman. Mm-hmm. For the record, my name is Ken Bischoff. I'm the Director of Division of Finance for the Department of Administration. I believe the amendments...
Can you restate your name for the teleconference?
Okay. For the record...
People, thank you.
My name is Ken Bischoff. I'm the Director of Division of Finance for the Department of Administration. The amendments have been read and summarized correctly. I believe the key to this issue is that this program needs to be viewed as a form of a grant, and that has been concurred to by the Department of Law and needs to be administered as such. The payroll deduction is a routine and rather minor portion of this effort. We deduct in our payroll section for various things, child support, taxes, a number of issues. The Department of Administration on a routine basis would continue to do that and transmit the payroll deductions to the Olympic Committee. The Olympic Committee in turn would combine that with donations from municipal employees and other private contributions and bill whatever agency it turns out is going to be responsible administratively for the program. Our concern as the Department of Administration is our payroll and accounting systems are centralized functions. We do nothing else. There is an internal control reason for that is that we do not initiate any payments as we're statutorily responsible for reviewing the propriety of the payments of all other state agencies. And for that reason, we do not believe it is appropriate to take on a program such as this.
Okay. Is there any questions, Ken, from the Okay, all right, thank you very much. Do you have that position written down from your department for the committee members?
Yes, we do have a position paper. I should have.
Let's see if we have.
Never mind.
Okay, it is in. Thank you, good. All right, Ed, do you have anyone else there in Fairbanks that would like to testify in this bill?
I have my executive director, Don Dennis, who just wants to say something in a general way in support of the bill.
Thank you.
I think the thing that's important about the bill, of course, is the overall concept of purpose of the thing and all of the little problems that might be with it, all the questions, and certainly some that were raised were very appropriate. We should go into the thing with the idea of resolving those questions in order to meet the major overall goal of the bill, which I think provides, Alaska is a very unique place, and I think this particular bill provides a very unique opportunity for a unique place, and that the Olympic movement in Alaska could jump miles ahead with this kind of a trust fund established in perpetuity to provide the kind of support to these amateur athletes who would have to spend a great deal of their own personal time raising money and finding money or spending their own money now and to pay their own way as the Olympic movement dictates. I think that with this opportunity to get a working partnership with the military, possibly the establishment of the official U.S. Biathlon Training Center in Alaska is a very real possibility. Fairbanks has just recently constructed a luge track. It's one of only two or three in the United States. And, of course, that type of training here would be a very real possibility. The U.S. cross-country ski team has already used this area and Anchorage for training purposes. And another area in which this committee is taking a long look is speed skating. That is, of course, all of these are sports that have very much in common with Alaska. And these are all sports that speed skating is another one that only has two or three major training centers in the entire United States right now. All of these things would be very possible in the overall aspect of this bill. Some of the questions, such as determining the in-kind, certainly that needs to be answered. Who does make that determination? That's a very good question. I think the thing, when you're thinking about in-kind, to keep in mind is that the position of this committee is that the only type of donations that would be asked to be matched on the fair market value are those items which could be used for furtherance of the Olympic purpose. Now, that offers a little bit of a broad range in that some headquarters will be established and this type of thing. So this determining panel, whoever it is a very valid point. All other in-kind donations that don't specifically apply to the furtherance of the Olympic goals or meet the criteria, for instance, the...
Don, can I just cut in?
Malieska that were mentioned earlier, there's nearly $1 million of brand new parts there, and they were appraised fair market value in Fairbanks amount that in-kind contribution brought when it was reduced to cash is the amount that would be going to the state for the matching under the trust fund.
Okay, thank you, Don, very much. Is there anyone else in Fairbanks that wants to testify? We need to wrap this up in order for us to meet our schedule.
I think that not in Fairbanks, but I'm sure that co-state chairman, former Representative Chuck Cicero, would like to say something from Anchorage.
Okay, Chuck, are you there in Anchorage?
I sure am, Senator. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to say something about this bill. I think both Don and Ed Mertes have pretty well covered it, so there's no sense in going back over all the ground. However, I do want to say that obviously as co-state co-chairman of the Olympic Committee for Alaska, I'm very much in favor of Senate Bill 108, and I do understand the concern of Senator Fisher and Serge Lewski about some of the things that have to be worked out, and there are some things that have to be sorted out. But as Ed pointed out, we're just sort of getting started, and we're feeling our way a little bit on this, but I think it will work, and we fully expect to get a lot of in-kind donations from some of the large contractors we have in the state, particularly in the oil industry, and we're going to try to convert those to cash. We're not looking for things that that the athletes or the program will use themselves as much as we are things that we can take, like these used parts or anything like that, and convert them into cash and then ask for matching for that. Again, I thank you very much for allowing me to participate, and if you'd given me the microphone to start with, you wouldn't have to listen to Ed Murray's all day.
Senator Strugulski has a question.
It's always delightful to listen to Ed, Chuck, and that goes for you too. I guess the one thing, you're welcome. The one thing that still concerns me, there was just a little bit of discussion about what this might be used for to send kids to places to get an idea of competition, to compete, provision of skis, and so on. If, you know, I don't think anybody was more thrilled, certainly, than I was to see our two fine athletes down there this year, one of them winning a gold. But I guess I would like to have just a little more information of how you plan to cut through all the things out there that can be done to the things that will be done, and with what kind of a program it's going to take. It seems to me some very sophisticated kinds of planning, so that you don't have, we're talking here potentially about the kind of money that would support our boys club and girls club and a whole lot of other fine programs throughout the state, but we're going to be using it in this direction. It's worthy goal, but just how are you going to go about establishing what those priorities and linkages, so you will be able to stand up and say, hey, we're fair, we're consistent, we're working toward a goal, we're doing enrichment, we're just not supplanting programs. And I'd like some comment on that.
So this is Don Dennis again. The general approach the committee has taken to that question is that we want to work with general programs for the masses. In other words, let's take, for example, speed skating. All we would encourage are speed skating rinks around the state, try to organize local committees, nonprofit-type committees, to oversee the development of the program, but then the actual support and everything for an athlete per se would come much farther down the track. In other words, the committee's involvement with a particular athlete, say a Mara Rabinowitz or someone that became of what we would call, you know, Olympic caliber above and beyond. We want to establish the Junior Olympic program and these other programs on a statewide basis to get the introduction, get the masses involved in them, and then the only support for, like, individual athletes and that type of thing would come much farther down the road when they've actually reached the qualifying round for the Olympics and that type of thing.
All right, good. Thank you. Well, with that, there isn't anyone else here that testify, and I don't think there's anyone else on the line that wants to testify on Senate Bill 108. We'll go ahead and close the teleconference on Senate Bill 108, and we will be holding this bill over. As we said, it was a request of Senator Ferguson, and also there are a number of amendments that we need to incorporate in the bill. Now we will go to the teleconference of our Senate Bill 65, and I... Senator Kertula's right-hand person or left-hand person in full body is here, and I'd like to
thank you, Madam Chair.
Don't come down with a cold, Beth. I know you're trying to catch it. So.
This is Beth Kertula, and I'm testifying for Senator Kertula today. And thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, if I sound funny, I've got a sinus infection, and that's sort of a problem here in Juneau for all of us. Madam Chair, Senators, and everyone that's out there participating in the teleconference, my father, Senator Kertula, is in another meeting, and he's very sorry that he's not here. We didn't realize it was going to be a teleconference, but I'm really happy it is, especially because I think John Stavig from the MBA in Cordova is online, and he's one of the people that I was hoping to talk with before testifying today, so I think maybe he could have some pertinent information. Senator Kertula introduced Senate Bill 65 this year to specifically deal with the problem that resulted in legislation from last year. Last year, Alaska Statute 44.47.560 was changed so that towns that were more than 100 nautical miles from Anchorage could receive housing loans from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, but those that were within that 100 nautical miles would not. Unfortunately, Cordova fell within the 100 nautical miles from Anchorage and thus was cut out of receiving housing loan assistance from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. They could get housing assistance under non-conforming urban section, but they couldn't under the traditional definition of rural, which they had always been eligible for before last year. Cordova at this point is in bad economic situation. Its resources are based on a renewable resource, the fisheries. With the strong U.S. dollar, we're having difficulty in exporting fisheries. When you walk down the streets of Cordova, you're beginning to see storefronts closed, and it's not the best economic situation. So it's anything that can be done to help Cordova at this point will be of great help to the city. The fiscal note prepared by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs is a zero fiscal note. The department feels fairly confident that it can fund any housing loans applications that are approved in Cordova with existing funds and those asked for fiscal year 86. So all in all, this is basically a bill to correct a glitch in the statute that exists, and I'd ask the committee for Senator Curtula to pass a bill on out of committee so that we can take care of the statute. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions, and Deputy Commissioner Jeff Smith is here to testify also.
Okay. Yes,
Senator Chair, just a comment to Ms. Curtula that it may have been a glitch, but Homer now has learned to live with the program and utilize it, and I think from the indications they're going to feel a great sense of loss, but your recommendation is that they would be excluded from the program.
Senator Sturgalewski, no, I'm sorry. That wouldn't be the case. This bill doesn't exclude anybody from the program, in my understanding. It simply would include those that are also those communities that are not connected by road or rail to Anchorage, or those communities that are more than 100 nautical miles from Anchorage. So Homer isn't excluded. It just simply puts Cordova back where they began.
Yes,
is that right? Am I incorrect in that?
Yes.
Okay.
This bill just puts Cordova back. The Homer problem is another reason why that happened, and I'll be glad to explain Homer when I testify so that everybody has a full understanding of what happened last year, why and how it happened, and what was done about it.
Right. I certainly wouldn't call excluding Homer a glitch, and yeah, thank you for raising that, Senator, through the chair.
Okay. Is there any further questions about that? If not, thank you.
Thank you
okay.
very much.
And Jeff, we'll put you on the hot seat next.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Jeff Smith, Deputy Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs. We have read the bill proposed by Senator Curtula and are in complete agreement and very supportive of it. What happened to Cordova last year was very unfortunate. The definition was changed last year in hopes of correcting and including some communities that were not connected by road to Anchorage, but were in close proximity to Anchorage. In doing that, no one noticed that Cordova would be knocked out of the program and be classified as urban. And this simply corrects that and brings Cordova back into where they were intended to always be, and that is as a rural program for these housing loans. There has, however, been a great deal of controversy, needless to say, over Homer. Mm-hmm. And I'd like for a few minutes to explain the Homer situation, what the department did about it, and what our position is on it. When the new definition was changed and passed into law, we took that definition to a photographer in Anchorage because we like these definitions drawn exactly on a map so that everybody knows who qualifies and who doesn't. Well, there's the legislation specifically stated that these be 100 nautical miles. When the line was drawn on the map, it was inadvertently done in statute miles. And when you take 100 miles of nautical and 100 miles of statute, there's a 15-mile difference at that point. And so what we had on the map as a definition was 85 nautical miles, which classified Homer as a rural program. This was not brought to our attention. We administered the program in Homer as a rural program. And between July 1st of last year and the time when it was brought to our attention, we processed in excess of almost $15 million worth of housing loans in Homer. Now, what had happened was we received a number of calls from the city of Homer, the legislators around the state, asking us to take a look at Cordova, that Cordova shouldn't have been taken out of the program. I had my staff prepare four different definitions of how you could define rural. And I asked, before we would consider any of the definitions, that these be placed on a map so that we could look at them before we considered a new definition, so that everybody would know who was going to be included, who was going to be excluded. We had just recently hired a cartographer on staff for one of our land programs. We took these four definitions down to him. That's when it was brought to our attention, the nautical versus statute mile difference. We discussed this with Commissioner Noddy. It was determined that that was correct, that the mistake had been made. How unfortunate that mistake was, it had been made. We sat down to figure out how can we correct this. We decided that the best way to correct it was to give very short notice that the program would terminate. We notified the banks verbally on the phone at between 8:30 and 9:30 of Tuesday morning, and to end the program at 4:30 that night. During the time between 8:30 when the banks were notified and 4:30 when the program ended, the department received applications in excess of $1.2 million. To extend the program any longer, give any longer notification than that, would have caused more applications to be submitted and a further drain on the program. I can understand the feelings of Homer and the disappointment that many of the applicants for housing are feeling right now. But rather than look at the program that we are taking away something that they were entitled to, they were given something that they weren't entitled to, and they were given $15 million in loans. And the problem we have with this is if you look at why we were created and why this program's different than the one with Alaska Housing Finance, is we were created to serve a market that was not served by banks. People who desired housing, had the ability to pay for housing, were not being served by the banks of the state, were not being served by Alaska Housing Finance. If you look at the appropriation levels that have been given to our department to implement this housing loan program, we cannot compete with Alaska Housing Finance. Our portfolio right now, Senators, is I believe over $128 million. I believe the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's portfolio is over $4 billion. So there's considerable difference in how funds are generated, and I would urge you, in any consideration to extend the program to other communities around the state, I would request you look at two things. One, the original market that we were intended to serve, and two, the appropriation levels which we've been given to serve those markets. And we cannot sustain the level of activity that comes from communities like Homer under our current appropriations. And so just in conclusion, we're supportive of the change. We think it's unfortunate that Cordova was designated urban for this fiscal year. We think it's appropriate to change it back. However, we do realize that it's an unfortunate mistake. No one feels sorry about the mistake than we do. But as soon as the mistake was brought to our attention, we took what we felt were the most appropriate corrective measures to end the program and to preserve the remaining loan funds available to keep them in the to serve the communities that we were originally intended to serve. Thank you very much.
Yes. Are we getting ourselves into a bigger problem of taking a negative position on saying 100 nautical miles from Anchorage, 35 nautical miles from Fairbanks? Wouldn't we be better off if we made the definition of rural for all of the judicial districts and just said rural means 35 nautical miles from the boundary of a municipality over 4,500 people? We'll be back to the drawing board next year with some more exceptions.
Madam Chair, we have been back to the drawing board every year for 6 years about.
About this, is that true?
No, it's been a
this
problem.
Will be the, excuse me, this will be, of the 5 years we've had the program, this will be the fourth change.
Yeah, oh, excuse me, four, missed 1 year.
But well, I don't have any problem with the way it's, and it is a good program, and I agree with what the intent of the bill is doing. It's just that it would seem to me that we're using this rural definition in this bill. You're using that in other interpretations too, aren't you?
No, for this purpose, this is only the only program this definition really applies to. We agree with you, Senator, that there is a problem with the definition. I think that for the residents of Homer and other communities like Homer, this may be a good opportunity for us to redefine the market area for the housing loan program and reevaluate the circumstances that existed back in 1980 when we were created. Mm-hmm. And we would be glad to have that discussion with the members of your committee and the members of the House Community Regional Affairs Committee and any other people that are interested in coming up with a good, solid definition.
Yes, Madam Chairman, I think we ought to do that, and I'm not going to take up any more time. You've got some people out in the hinterland that want to testify. Right. Let's hear them, and then I would suggest that we hold it and we do this thing over.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you will get with my staff, and we'll set something up with House and Senate, because I think this definition to me creates a lot of division throughout our state of Alaska, and that causes me lots of problems mm-hmm. when we're really causing divisions within the people that we all supposed to are serving. So with that, I'll go to Cordova. Yes, Cordova, I understand there is one person there that would like to testify.
We have people going to testify. John and Jeannie C. of Maston Realtors. George Harrington had to leave, but he wanted to echo whatever they're going to say. So first of all, have John come on, okay?
Yes, with the understanding that we'd only take about 2 or 3 minutes because, as it's been said, the bill is going to be held over and we are going to be meeting with Community and Regional Affairs. And also, we all have a time constraint. As we have to be out at 4:30 and we have a number of people from Homer also that would like to testify. So with that understanding, yes, if they'd come forth and testify, please.
Okay, here's John.
Thank you. John Stavis, my name. I'd like to just go on record that, as probably what's already been addressed, that this elimination of Cordova from the rural housing money did have a severe detrimental effect, and I would personally like to see it be reevaluated so that we could be again included within the rural housing money.
Thank you, John. John, would you spell your last name for the record for my secretary, please?
Yes. S-T-A, V as in Victor, I-G.
Thank you very much. Is there someone else there in Cordova?
Yes, this is Jeannie C. I work for Marston Real Estate of Anchorage. I am Cordova's only real estate agent. Cordova is by all means rural. The rural housing program was designed for communities like ours. It is much more conducive in qualifying buyers that are self-employed. Our sole industry here is fishing. The majority of the population are not on W-2 income, and as such would have a difficult time qualifying for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation mortgages. In effect, this change in classification from rural to urban for Cordova denies self-employed fishermen from the state housing loan programs. Cordova needs the rural housing program. We are rural. Please vote yes on this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else in Cordova that would like to testify?
No, the other two people just want to reiterate what these people said, so they won't testify at this time, and it'll be Cordova clear.
Okay. Thank you. Now we'll go to Homer. Is there some people there that would like to testify on House or Senate Bill 65?
Yes. My name is Bill Russell, and I'm the Legislative Affairs Chairman for the CACMI Board of Realtors. And the CACMI Board of Realtors would like to go on record as being against Senator Padula's bill, basically because of the phrase not connected by road or rail to Anchorage, which in effect would eliminate Homer and a number of other communities, and also the 100 nautical mile line. No. This would not only eliminate Homer, but we've got a laundry list of communities that's as long as your arm that would eliminate Seward and Neilchick, Anchor Point, Casilla, Happy Valley, Clam Gulch, Sterling Hope, even communities such as Circle, Chicken, on and on. We just feel that the phrase by road or rail and or using a nautical mile circle is a very poor way to define rural. I also agree very much with GC from Cordova. Cordova is definitely a rural community, and this program should be for communities exactly like Cordova and Homer. Homer also has the same economic base as Cordova does. We're primarily a fishing village. CRA loan program, when it was in effect here, definitely was an asset to the homeowner. By virtue, we feel by virtue of the amount of money that was spent, it shows that the program was well received and that it was doing exactly what it intended to do here. There are a number of people right now that are enjoying houses, good safe housing in the city of Homer right now that would not be enjoying this housing. Were it not for the fact that we did enjoy a short period of time under the DCRA program.
Okay. We appreciate your testimony, and we only have 5 minutes for about three more people to testify, sir, so thank you.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Anna Pearson. I'm with the Ketchikan Board of Realtors here, and I also was with Alaska Housing and administer the rural housing program when I was there. And I recall that when that rail and road item was put into the bill, there was a lot of people that called from communities like Chipman and Eagle and Skagway and Homer and Inilchik that were not able to be in that program, and we're really rural. And I don't think that the intent of legislation is that there be communities that are not available to a secondary market, and that being these communities. The DECRA program then changed it to the 100-mile radius, but this still left out many of the rural communities within a 100-mile radius of Anchorage, which Bill has mentioned.
Thank you, Anna. Is there someone else there that would like to testify?
Tell them we're going to change.
My name is Bill Sheely. I'm the city manager, and I'm representing the Homer City Council today. The council has taken the position that Cordova is rural and definitely should be eligible for the program. And we feel that Homer likewise is rural and should be eligible. I would cite two instances. One, measuring nautical miles from Anchorage Airport to Homer Airport is 101 nautical miles. So we're some distance away. Second, only about half the houses within the city of Homer have access to municipal water and sewer. None of the city streets are paved. The only paved roads in town are state highways. To me, these indicate a rural community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I would just point out to you that all of the members of the committee did receive in their packet the resolution from the City of Homer, as well as the resolution from the Homer Chamber of Commerce. So they are familiar with your stand. Thank you. Is there anyone else there in Homer that would like to testify?
Yes, my name is Jenny Burgert, and I represent the lenders here in Homer. I work for Lummis & Middleton. We're mortgage bankers. I came into Homer shortly before the DCRA program broke loose and had worked for 3 years in Anchorage, so I knew the contrast between DCRA and Alaska Housing. As Jeannie C. pointed out in Cordova, we have the same problem. I would say between 75 and 80% of our borrowers are self-employed. They're going to have a heck of a time getting through Alaska Housing. We also have a large contingent of people who are trying to finish homes that they've been building out of pocket. And there is no other program that fits that bill. FHA's interest rates are much, much too high. These people are very, very conservative, and they're upset about the idea of even having to deal with $100 or $200 a month payment. But they have no program available to finish the homes that they're in. They can't go non-conforming because non-conforming is out of funds until at least July 1st. And I think what's happening is we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and we're overlooking that there is a large element here of people that cannot get housing except through DCRA, and we're not giving them a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. And Representative Maru is here. He's been listening to all the testimony for those of the people that are his constituents, and I think he'd like to say a couple of words.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. I am speaking here not only as a legislator for the Kenai Peninsula, including Homer, but also as a real estate broker with his office in Homer. I do oppose Senate Bill 65, and I would like to suggest to this committee that they might consider something similar to my House Bill 175, which I introduced last Friday. House Bill 175 defines rural such that it would include Homer and would include Cordova both, and it uses the 4,500 population limit only. There are no geographic locations whatsoever. Any organized community with 4,500 people or less is rural. I could go into ramifications of the two old bills, but I would suggest you take a look at HB 175.
Okay, good. We will, and we'd also invite you to come at the time when we do have our meeting with the joint House CNRA and also with Jeff Smith regarding changing the bill. And I know that you are. So
I'm a member of House CNRA, so I'll be there.
So you'll be there. Okay. With that, we thank you very much. And according to our clock, it is exactly 4:30. So with that, I'll adjourn the committee meeting and thank you all for testifying.
What do we do? Why did we adjourn? We're going to go listen.